welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Okay.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You don't want to miss this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is going to be an awesome time. We've had four different prophecies come in from people that don't particularly know us concerning what God is doing in this time. All right. We are on the edge of some amazing things. Don't be surprised if in this time you go through some incredible attack from the enemy. I'm not speaking it over you, but sometimes it's just that this is the time when the enemy has a last hurrah to try and get. So don't be surprised. You think, oh, everybody's really excited. Everybody's really happy. And then you think, well, I'm not, though. Well, that's okay. All right, just get over yourself. No. Seek the Lord because you've got victory. All right, there'll be all kinds of stuff that the enemy will be doing in the background and sometimes not so much in the background because he's not happy with where Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is moving into. All right, we're moving into our God-appointed time and the enemy does not like that. That's why else would he give us this five smooth stones week after week about picking up stones, putting them in the slingshot and flinging them at giants? Because there could be giants. No, there couldn't be. There will be giants that we have to face. Amen. It's not just the whole thing of getting our building. I mean, there's so many dead giants on the floor, you can't see the ground with that one. I feel like David, you know, I feel like running back to Saul carrying all the heads, you know, dripping blood and everything. You know, you read it, 1 Samuel 17, he runs back with the head all the way to Saul. And you just see he's been parading through town with this giant's head to show what he killed. He went against the giant saying, I'm going to cut its head off, and he didn't even have a sword. Because he knew God would provide. All he had was what God had given him, what God had trained him in, which was with sling stones. So that's what he was going to use. That's why God is training us in this now. Amen? For the latest update on the building, if we were buying a house together, an interesting proposition, wouldn't it? But if we were buying a house together, it would now have a sale board outside that would say, sold subject to contract. Okay, that's where we're at. It's with solicitors. We couldn't have picked a better location. The Lord said town centre and you're two doors down from the town hall, or at least why it's still there. You're two doors down from the town hall. You know, that can't really be more central, could it? It's right in the middle of where the street angels do all their stuff as well, so we'll be able to open it at midnight. Be open till 3 a.m, because that's when that street's packed. How about that for radical church thinking? Don't worry, that won't be the time of the services. Yeah, we're not having Sunday morning. Our Sunday morning service is going to begin at 12:01 on a Saturday night. Now, that would be different. And maybe it will. But there will be one a more suitable time, shall we say. This is such an exciting moment. It looks like a tiny little building. It's a bit Doctor Who-like. You know, it's just got this small frontage with stairs and a lift inside. But then if you look up above it, all the building that's above the club, that's two floors worth, that's all ours. Amen. And it's been, yeah, you should be. Yeah. Woo. Woo. Don't know how you stayed in your seats, personally. It's fantastic. It's a step up. You know, one of the things we said would be difficult would be to step up from the Stephen Joseph. When we came here from the library, it was like, wow, God has brought us to a green and pleasant land sort of thing. And but this building that we're going to, it will be a step up.
Come on.
Okay, it's going to be a lovely place. You're really going to enjoy it. And for those of you that like to hide, the seats will no longer be racked up like that. You better hide on the back row and I won't be able to see you. Although actually, unless the lighting's like this, I'll be able to see you far better. You're just an audience blur from here, you see. I have to come right here and then I can spy you out. Oh, there's Dennis. Hallelujah. Yep, it's got a nice big hall for us all to, or hall area for us to meet in. It's all in pretty good condition. It fell down almost 10 years ago because it's 200 years old, but it was virtually rebuilt with a steel frame, a modern steel frame. So God couldn't have done better. It's amazing. It really is. The best one we've ever looked at. And then there's great breakout areas for all the children's events. There's a great area we can use as a lounge. There's an area we're going to call the Den, which will be an exciting bit for young adults and older adults and youth, where we put in computer games and stuff like that, just so you can hang out there. There'll be the cafe on the way in. Obviously, there'll be a rolling program to get everything in there, but yeah, you're going to love it. It's brilliant. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. I just cannot believe we found a place like this right in the middle of town. It's unbelievable. You know, when God kept saying town centre, you're thinking, but God, there is nowhere. You know, they're all too small or all too impossible. And then God said, well, there's this one. How about this? You've been walking past it as a street angel for 3 years, but... So do, have a look. But don't put it in the paper yet. Right. At some point, won't it be fun when we have our opening service and we can invite all the people we've worked with and friends and people from other churches just to celebrate what God has done, you know? We'll invite the superintendent of the police, we'll invite the inspectors, we'll invite the council leaders, we'll invite other church leaders, we'll invite the mayor, and we've got that link with them. So it'd be great, they'll come and enjoy the opening service, and we get a chance to show how awesome God is, what a wonderful God he is. The response from the police to us having this building was, that's brilliant, that's just where we need you. The response from the council, the director of Scarborough Borough Council, was, that's brilliant, that's just where we need you. That is such favour that people are excited that this church is getting a building that have nothing to do with the church on an ordinary level. Isn't it? It's a sign of what we're... It's all been building up to this, as we've been saying. And you can see that this year... Boom!
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. What do I mean, boom? I don't mean, we're going to be great. I mean, it's time for people to be saved. It's time for people to be healed. It's time for us to have an even greater impact on the youth of this town. I mean, it's fantastic that youth angels are getting into schools, that they're being asked to do this, asked to do that. But what we want to see is even more young people getting saved. Yeah. Amen. Right. I want to see, it's been great at what God has done with young adults and students, although most of them have gone home now for Easter. But won't it be great to see the church full of teenagers as well?
Come on.
And full of people in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. But that's an area where there's not many of us in this room at the moment.
Right.
Is there, Ben? You're lonely, aren't you, Ben? We need more Bens. Hallelujah. Well, that's exactly what God's going to do.
Amen.
You know, even before this building is announced, even before this building is official, this week I had a phone call from the council saying, I tell you the peculiar thing about this one, there's an event that the council put on, and they do lots of music, and they have bands playing and all this kind of stuff. And Dan and I had said to one another, wouldn't it be great if we could host those events? I wonder how we can get it so that we can host those events, because it'd be good to have all those young people come into our building and have lots of people there who can just love on them and welcome them. And you know, it gets people used to where you're meeting and that kind of thing. I wonder if when we get a building, we'll be able to do that. Well, last week I had a phone call from the council saying, could we book your building for the exact event I'm just describing? And I said, well, we haven't got it yet. Chris, thank you.
Amen.
We should all be like Chris. We should all. These are amazing things. It means we can get the young people of Scarborough in that building. Okay? And I want them to have every opportunity to come to know Jesus. And how can inviting them into your building not be a major way into giving that opportunity? Amen? Hallelujah. It's good what God's got. I couldn't believe it when I got this phone call. I said, how did you even know? It's all round the council, apparently. Yeah, right, okay. Not many secrets there, I don't think. Yes, it's all round there. And so I said, but we haven't even got planning permission yet. And she said, well, I can't see much trouble with that. This bit ticks all the boxes of what we're trying to do in town. And so she gave me this date, and I said, well, I don't know if we'll be in by that date. She said, well, can I pencil it in? So I did my best to dissuade them. I said, okay, let's just leave it then. We'll be in. You pencil it in, and we'll keep up to date with what's happening. Hallelujah. It's July anyway. We've got to be in by July. Hallelujah. It's a passage that I've been trying to do or read to you for about 4 weeks. It's quite an obscure little passage, and I looked at it again this morning and thought, my goodness, this is almost going to be a letdown at this rate. But excuse me. And it's in 1 Samuel 13. So the story is, this is when Saul has become king of Israel. Actually starts off, Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. That was a pretty long reign in those days, actually. Now, at this time, as is most of his reign, he's having trouble with the neighbours. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel, 2,000 were with him at Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. And Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now, when this scripture came to me was when people reported hearing the trumpets in the worship up at Lamplugh. Okay, and I wanted to know, what are you showing us, Lord, in this? And this was one of the first passages that I went to look at, and a lot of and there is the stuff here I think that's important for us. But the trumpet is blown to alert God's people. So Saul says, "Let the trumpet be blown, and let the Hebrews, the Israelites, hear."
Yes.
Okay, so if God is blowing a trumpet, and he surely is, he's not just blowing a trumpet and when you hear a trumpet blowing, there's a trumpet blowing in that worship.
Amen.
There's a trumpet blowing Amen. When we hear the word preached. There's a trumpet blowing when we share the word of God together. This trumpet is calling God's people, it's warning God's people, and it's saying, "Wake up!"
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think primarily that's what this trumpet is about. It's about God saying to his people, "Wake up and come and live in the place I have for you." You know, I don't know about you. I said it earlier. We're in the worship. I'm tired of ordinary church.
Yes.
You know, doesn't church get you down? You know, when it's all just stuff that you have to do and meetings that you have to go to and a sense of duty. You know, and church can get like that. Kingdom Faith Church gets like that. I'm not pointing the finger.
Come on.
I'm not sure that was an appropriate amount of enthusiasm. I know what you mean, Nigel. I love him, don't you? Isn't it great having these guys up here with us? We've imported some Crawley enthusiasm into Yorkshire. Stir us up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, where was I? When Nigel so rudely interrupted me. Oh yeah, church can get boring when the preacher doesn't know where he's going. No, that wasn't what I was saying. Church can get boring. I hate prayer meetings sometimes, don't you? When they're just lists of prayer requests and this one and this one and this one and this one and even worse when you all get into the headache position because nobody can really think what to pray. You know, just all sit there trying to hope that you look holy. Or you get the prayer meetings where everybody's praying something and you're desperately not listening because you're trying to work out your next one. I need to pray in a minute. What can I pray? What can I pray? Again, I need some ideas. You know, they're so boring, aren't they? I believe God is moving us way beyond that.
Yes.
You know, where every prayer meeting we have, we're responding to how the Holy Spirit is leading us.
Yes.
Even if we've got a shopping list, we might never get onto it. Yes. You know, if this sermon is not an example in any other way, let it be an example in that you can be prepared for something, and time and time again, God takes over. Okay, and you're gonna experience that a lot. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, you'll have your plans, you'll have your destiny, you'll have what you want to do, and God says, "Come and do this. Come and do this." Yeah, that's your ideas. You don't want your ideas, you want God's ideas. Because in that way, you're going to live a fulfilled and happy and excited life. Believe me, God's got better ideas than you. And sometimes you can even feel like, "I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know where I'm going."
Come on.
Doesn't matter. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to do next. The Word says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble of its own," it says. So don't worry about tomorrow. You think, "Well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen and where that's going to go and how that's going to work out." It doesn't matter. God does.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Let's get some security in this, that God is in control. He will sort it out. All we have to do is be faithful to him so that we're listening to him. And Bob's your uncle. Or maybe it's Albert, I don't know. Right, so Saul blew the trumpet to wake everybody up. Everybody feeling a little bit more woken up.
Amen.
Otherwise I'll get you all pretending to play trumpets or something embarrassing. Right, I've got another scripture. Let's look at some more scriptures to do with trumpets, all right? I like this one. This is for now for us, because this is a trumpet blowing. Zechariah. Yeah, you're going to need the contents page for that. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14 onwards. And this is God speaking to us now. This is why God blew the trumpet, because as you see in this passage, it's him. The Lord will appear above his people. His arrows will fly like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet.
Come on.
Who heard the trumpet?
Yes. Yeah.
Because what you heard was the Lord blowing it.
Awesome.
That's pretty exciting stuff. I didn't hear it. I wish I had. He will go out against his enemies like a whirlwind from the southern desert. What are God's enemies? Well, there's a spiritual world of his enemies. And then there's all the sickness and disease and ears blocked to salvation and all that stuff. Those are the enemies of God. Anything that prevents the word of God being fulfilled in someone's life is an enemy to God's word. And God's saying he's coming like a whirlwind. And a whirlwind messes things up. You know, people say to me, well, you know, if God's doing it, it's all going to be neat and orderly. No, God's idea of order is very different to ours.
Yes. Right.
Have you ever seen the asteroid belt?
Yeah.
It's a, well, you're probably not, unless you went flying off in a rocket at some time. But the asteroid belt in our solar system is a mass. I mean, it's just masses and masses of all sorts of weirdly shaped rocks all flying around, smashing into one another all the time. It's complete chaos, and yet it's complete order, because it always stays in that belt around the sun. Amazing, isn't it? Look at the sun. No, you mustn't. It's bad for your eyes. Health and safety notice. But if you could look at the sun, you would see something in the sky that looks perfectly in order. It looks, you know, big and yellow and burny. You know, and it makes you nice and warm, and you think that's order, that's God. That sun comes up every day, goes over there and down that side, and because it's Scarborough, we see it every day. It's never hidden.
Amen.
It's always sunny in Scarborough.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But if we could travel to the sun, apart from getting a bit warm, we would see that it's totally chaos. You know, it's burning of gases at incredibly, unbelievably high temperatures, burning off, flames shooting out, big flares coming out from the sun that are many times bigger than the earth. It's absolute chaos, yet it's complete order in what it brings to the solar system. So when God moves, sometimes people get a little bit scared because things look like chaos. Just think universe. Just think solar system and think, no, it's ordered because God is in control. All right, do you get the picture? So when we see people falling all over the stage, like we've often seen on here, or when we see much bigger things of people falling over in congregations or all sorts of stuff happening, you think, this can't be God, it's just too messy. Just think solar system. Chaos, but ordered. Yeah? And that's God. It's his order. So he will sound the trumpet because he comes like a whirlwind. He comes to stir things up. And I think he just loves to sort of send his whirlwind in the church. He just likes to cause a bit of mess so that we're not just following our order.
Yes.
You know, just, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to go here. No, let's scatter all that. They need to come back to me in that.
Come on.
You know?
Good.
The Lord Almighty, you'll like this next bit, I promise you. You see that we have really been going here for 4 weeks. The Lord Almighty will protect his people and they will subdue their enemies with sling stones. See, there was a purpose in all this. The Lord Almighty will protect his people and they will subdue their enemies with sling stones. They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine, shedding the blood of their enemies. I like this, a bit of graphic gore. They will be filled with blood like a bowl, drenched with blood like the corners of the altar. Ooh, what a picture. But the picture is, of course, we are drenched with the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. Where it's talking about the blood on the altar, that's the old altar where the sacrifices were made, and the blood would be all over the altar. It must have been an incredible mess. Well, we need to be covered in the blood. Covered in the blood of Jesus, because it's the blood that brings forgiveness. It's the blood that has the power to break through sickness and the disease. It's the blood that has the power to break through in our society and let the gospel be preached. Amen? It's the blood. As that old Pentecostal song says, it's the blood. Anyway, we won't go there. I like this. They were shouting battle as though drunk with wine. When you read wine in the Old Testament, if you're not used to the Old Testament, it correlates to the Holy Spirit. It's talking about they will be drunk with the Holy Spirit, not actually drunk with wine. They'll be drunk as if it was wine, but it will be with the Holy Spirit. And when you're drunk in the Holy Spirit, it gives you that extra boldness and that extra courage.
Yeah.
It's good to be drunk in the Spirit. When we were down at the Nathan Morris conference in Hull not long ago, God hit me with his Holy Spirit on the Thursday night. And it really, really knocked me sideways. Even walking back to the car, I was staggering like I was drunk. I do have a problem with speech this morning. I obviously put the wrong teeth in. Can anybody leave their teeth at my house and I'm using them instead? They will shout in battle as though drunk with wine, shedding the blood of their enemies. In other words, that stands against the purposes of Christ, it's time to see it come down. It's very bloodthirsty, gory language, but ultimately it means the reign of Jesus, which is a reign of love and peace. It's not about us actually physically attacking anyone, because human beings are never our enemies. Whatever they stand for, whatever they're speaking, even if they're completely opposed to us, they're not our enemies. Our enemies are never flesh and blood. It's what's behind them. As soon as we start attacking our enemies physically, it's as if we've lost the battle. We need to go for the spirit behind it.
Amen.
Amen. So Richard Dawkins and his great speaking of atheism, although he's now an agnostic apparently, but all that stuff that he says, it doesn't make him an enemy in any sense.
Right.
It just means we pray for the spirit behind that keeping him from seeing the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, he thinks God is like is on the same level as the flying spaghetti monster. That's deception. You know, how anybody can look at the world and see what's been done in the name of Christ and say, well, believing in Christ is the same as believing in this flying spaghetti monster. It has to be a deception. Because an ordinary rational person would look at that and say, well, no, that's not true. Look at all the things that have been done that are good in the name of Christ. Of course, he will counter that with all the things that have been done in the name of religion. But we know where that comes from. When that day arrives, reading on, the trumpet blowing day, the Lord their God will rescue his people just as the shepherd rescues his sheep. And look at this. This is you guys. This is us. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. Don't know what you've got in your translation. This is the New Living. I really like this in the New Living. They will sparkle in his hand like jewels in a crown. There it is up there. How wonderful and beautiful they will be. That's how God sees you. Especially when you're feeling rotten and down, remember this is how God sees you. He doesn't see you how you see yourself when you're at your worst. This is how he sees you. He sees you sparkling. He looks down on the Stephen Joseph Theatre on a Sunday and it's full of sparkling jewels.
Come on, that's good. Thank
you, Lord. You are beautiful.
Yes, amen.
That's what the Lord declares over you all the time. You are beautiful. You sparkle like gems in a crown.
Hallelujah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome.
You know, let's get rid of all this nonsense about how God looks on people, you know, with a big long finger or judging or angry or shouting on his people, because you're covered in the blood of the Lamb, to use the Christian language, which is correct. You are sparkling, because the great mystery of this blood is that it doesn't leave you covered in gore. it leaves you clean and sparkling.
Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Sparkling like jewels in a crown, how wonderful and beautiful they will be. Well, this says they will be, but we're now living in this time. We don't live in the old, we live in the new. And it says the young men and women will thrive on the abundance of grain and new wine. What did I say wine was? Holy Spirit. What is grain? The Word of God. It's something you eat, something you feed on. So when you read about grain in the Old Testament, you're reading about the Word of God. When you read about wine, you're reading about the Holy Spirit. So I like this line here. Any young people in the room want to cash in on this one?
Yeah.
The young men and women will thrive.
Amen.
You two aren't thriving at the moment. You should be at least enthusiastic about that, because I would put you in the category of young. All right, you're under 48, which is what I am, so you're young. I mean, Alex could be about 42. It's hard to tell from here. But this is good. This is good news from you. The promise from God is that you will thrive on the abundance of His Word and the Holy Spirit, on the abundance of grain and new wine. Ben, it's time for you to thrive.
Yes.
Amen. Get the Word into you. Get reading the Word. Get feeding on the Word. Respond to the teaching of the Word. Because you're going to thrive on it. What does that mean? It means you're going to be healthy. It means you're going to be living in God. It means you're going to see all the things you wanted to see with the miracles of God happening. Things happening in your life. Daisy, it's time for you to thrive on the Word of God and the Spirit of God. He's asleep. You're normally one of the most responsive people in this congregation, and I pick on you and you didn't notice. It's obviously that kind of a morning. Caleb, you're a young man. It's time for you to thrive. Hallelujah. Lizzie, as a young woman, it's time for you to be so full of the Holy Spirit. You're so healthy and full of life.
Come on. Amen.
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 You see, this is why we got this noisy bunch down the front, because when there's something said from here that you agree with, you should be saying, amen, or I agree with it, or that's cool, whatever, because you're saying, yeah, I'm taking hold of that word, I'm eating it, and I'm going to thrive on it. Because I want to tell you something. In God, you're all young. Think how old He is. So, he's really old. We're all pipsqueaks in His eyes, so we all come into this category. So if I'm sharing the Word, you can say, yeah, that's mine.
Yes,
so the young men,
yes.
You see, Chris has decided he's a young man. I don't know if you were or not.
Oh,
there you go. The young men and the young women will thrive on the abundance of His Word and the abundance of His Spirit. Amen. Come on, pick up these words. Use the sling stones, bung them at the enemy. Don't ever in church just sit there in silence. That's just being entertained. That's just listening to something. You want to get hold of it. You want to feed on it. You want to say, if that's God's word, I'm having that.
I mean,
because otherwise, it's just a little bit of entertainment that might make you feel a little bit better or a little bit worse, depending on how good it was. But if you grab hold of the word for yourself, it doesn't matter how the preacher's doing, because you can grab every morsel of scripture and say, yeah, that's right, I'm having that. I'm a young man. I'm going to thrive on the abundance of God's word and on the abundance of the Holy Spirit. This is a time of the abundance of the Holy Spirit. Abundance of the Holy Spirit, Rob. It's really okay to speak in this building. Thank you, Eileen. I think sometimes the older people in this congregation are younger than the young ones. Hallelujah. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's about the trumpet. There's another one. Amos 3, verses 6 and 7. When a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble. And then just after that, it says, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing His plans to His servants, the prophets. Is that good?
Yeah.
Why is the trumpet blowing? Because it's time for the city to tremble.
Yes.
Why are they trembling? Because it's the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, that, the fear of God is a healthy thing. It's not a cowering terror. It's a fear of, oh my goodness, he's real. Oh, well, probably someone in our current culture will say, oh my God, it's God. OMG, it's God, goes out the text. It's real. All this time I've been using that G just for a bit of oomph or a bit of fun, and suddenly I've discovered it's real. That's the fear of God beginning to come on people, because they realise that if he really is God, he really can do whatever he wants. And if he wanted to wipe us out, he can wipe us out. That's his prerogative. Fortunately, we have a promise and a covenant in Jesus that that's not what he's going to do. Instead, we have a promise of new life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble. In other words, God is saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Well, probably if I went round to you one at a time and asked you, what is God going to be doing? I hope that most of us could say, well, I think we're going to see this. I think we're going to see that. This is going to be happening. I'm expecting this to happen, etc., etc. I bet everybody in here could do that. So why? How do you know that? Because the Lord has revealed his plan. I'm not saying that you're all Old Testament prophets, incidentally, but you are a prophetic people. All right, because we have the fullness of God. So there is an element of the prophetic that is on all his church, just as we're all apostolic, we're all evangelistic, we're all teachers, we're all pastoral, because we've got the Holy Spirit and we've got Jesus living in us.
Amen.
Obviously, some people then have a particular anointing that grows and develops to be a prophet or an evangelist or whatever. But in this particular case, you are a prophetic people. You can hear from God and pronounce his word. That's what it means. In fact, that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. When you use the sling stone that God's already talked about, you're being prophetic. You're taking the word of God and saying, this is what I see with my eyes, but what I see with faith is this. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the story of Saul just to finish. Oh my goodness, it's late. Well, it's not, it's early, because we're an hour early, aren't we? It's only 10 to 12. And I'm going to finish 1 Samuel 13, I've decided. So, sorry about that. It will be really quick, though. There's not really much to say about it. Let's just take out the main points. So they have a battle. And basically, they're waiting to go into the next battle, all right? And Samuel, the prophet, has told Saul to wait because his job, Samuel's job, is to offer the sacrifice. And Saul is waiting. He's king. His job is to do kingly things, all right, leading the people. Samuel remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. They're really scared about this battle that's ahead of them. He waited 7 days, which was the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. Now, it's very easy to be critical of Saul and what he did, but let's just look. He's waiting for Samuel to arrive, and everybody is beginning to weaken. Now, in the days ahead, are you going to stand firm when others scatter? That's why the trumpet has blown. That you will stand firm to the call that God has given us. Everyone in this room and others not in this room that are not with us today, that are part of this church, the trumpet has been blown for you. And there will come a point in the next few months when you will be tempted to scatter. For some of you, it will be a matter of shrugging it off as if nothing had happened. For others, it will be a very serious temptation. Because others are scattering, I'm going to go too. I don't even necessarily mean in this church. It might be things you see happening elsewhere. But there's a scattering going on that causes you to doubt.
Come on.
Are you going to stay
Come on.
To the trumpet call?
Yes.
You could make that decision this morning. And so what he does is he says, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering just as he finished. Would be, wouldn't it? Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. So he wasn't that late. And Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Said Samuel. Saul has got proud from the victories that he's had and begun to feel he can do anything. And there's also a warning for us here. It must be a morning of warnings. That as we see healings breaking out, as we see remarkable things happening, we can get a sense of, I can do anything. We must remember it is the Lord. Amen. We must only do what he gives us
to do.
Because the thing is, there will be needs come up and things that have to be, you'll see things, well, we could go and do that. But we need to know that that's the Lord that's called us to do that. Or we're walking into the same trap as Saul, who felt like, ah, we're winning the battles, I'm the anointed king, I can do the sacrifices. That wasn't his job. And it's very easy when a church is growing, as we're going to be growing, and when the Spirit of God is moving, as the Spirit of God is going to be moving, that we could jump into projects and events and things, thinking, we could do this, riding on a spirit of enthusiasm. But for all these things, we will need to test them. And there will be very real needs that we should not meet. That's something that's sometimes hard for a church to understand, but there will be very real needs that we can and should not meet. Because ultimately what we'd do, it would pull the church apart. The need in the world is far bigger than we could ever be. So we have to focus on what God gives us and test new things that come along to see if it's right. And you might be passionate about something, you see, for example, and think we really could do something about that. And the leadership would say, not yet, or not now. And when that happens, because I hope it happens, because people are full of ideas, remember this word. We're just not going to get ahead of what God has given us to do. We must wait for Samuel to come, because it's his job to do the sacrifice. Do you get this? I mean, what basically Saul did was he substituted religion for faith. Because he couldn't offer it in faith, because it wasn't his job. So he performed the religious ritual. And again, as we move ahead, it would be easy to get into a religious mindset. We can do worship this way, we'll pray this way, we'll meet this way, and we depart slowly from what God is actually leading us into by inventing our own little religion. So you can see why I wanted to get to this passage, because it's such a strong warning from the Lord for the way ahead, that we're listening to him and doing what he says. But, you know, for Saul, it's difficult to trust God when everything else doesn't seem to be going the right direction or it's falling apart. People have left this church because we talked about having a building for so long and we didn't have one. It's a scattering, and we've had to hold fast and know this is what the Lord said, and what we don't know is his timing.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Even, I mean, it doesn't seem very likely, but if this building all fell through, how would you feel? I'd be really disappointed and gutted, but I'd still hold, no, well, okay, this is God's promise, we'll keep moving forward. What have I learned from it this time? You know, I don't expect that to happen, but it's not going to throw me. Will it throw you? But Saul is basically impatient, and so he tries to make things happen. And again, that's what we mustn't do. We mustn't try and make things happen. If you're going to get many, many opportunities for praying for people, don't push them over. It's very tempting to just, I mean, sometimes it must be said, when the Spirit of God is on you, especially when you're ministering to a lot of people, there's such a strength coming from God that you can put your hands on somebody firmly. Although I've had many people think they're pushed over and I've not touched them, because it's God upon them. But on the same hand, don't fall over, you know, just to make stuff happen. But then on the other hand, don't get so caught up in whether I should fall over or fall that you end up not receiving. Who knows? The enemy tries to make a religion out of everything. You know, if you're not sure, it's no harm. Just believe and receive. All right? And don't worry about what you're doing. Don't fight it. Get ourselves in the right muddle. Because God's timing often seems late to us. People talk of him coming at the 11th hour. I think I mentioned the other week, sometimes it's more like the 13th, yes, to be honest. It seems like all is beyond hope. And God appears. And what then goes wrong, because surely we will make mistakes, and this is the final bit to finish. Let's just have a quick look in the Bible. What have you done, asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at this set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I have not sought the Lord's favour, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. This, of course, would be David. What is it that Saul does? He doesn't repent. It's not that you can't make mistakes. You will make mistakes. But Saul just tries to make excuses. And if you read on in the next few chapters, you'll find that this is Saul's pattern again and again. Every time he's confronted, he's got an excuse for why he didn't obey. He glosses over his mistakes and sins. He tries to justify it. And whenever we find ourselves trying to justify what we've done, you're walking down the same path that Saul did here. We try and spiritualize our actions. Well, I had special circumstances, so I was unable to do the right thing in that situation, or I couldn't do what we knew that God had called us as a church to do. But excuses are disobedient. God knows, and our Father restores, blesses, forgives, and heals when we repent, not when we make excuses. Amen. So that's the final little bit from this passage, to wrap it up quickly, is don't end up like Saul, making excuses. If we do get it wrong, let's repent. And remember, any time that it seems like an answer is not coming, the delay is to enable your faith to grow. Delay brings a maturity, and it brings a lesson in walking in obedience, even when it's not happening exactly how you think it should. Delay is probably God's most regular tool in enabling us to grow to maturity. He says yes, but sometimes that yes isn't immediate. And we wait on God, and our faith in him grows. That's why Abraham had to wait 25 years for the promise of his son. He did go wrong, but he repented. Yes. Saul made excuses. Yes. I think Abraham made a few excuses as well, but he did repent. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
We're gonna finish there, but if anybody, before we finish and put some music on, because it's gone on, but I think today's word was important for everybody to receive. It'd be worth you downloading that one again and listening to it again. Honestly, I know that sounds a bit much when I'm the person speaking, but there's a lot in today's word that will help us in the days to come.
Amen.
And help you in the days to come, because there are giants in the land. They are but grasshoppers to God, but if we get our eyes off God's word, they will seem like giants. Your sling stone's enough to squash them, let alone knock them over. But before we finish, we're going to finish and we'll put some music on, but because God is moving in healing at this time, if anybody here this morning wants to be healed, then just come down the front here on the side and we will release God's healing into you, okay? Even if it's something that we're fighting together and ongoing maybe, just come forward and we'll pray healing over you, because these are the days of miracles, amen? Roy, I think he's gone out again now. Roy told me earlier, last week we prayed for him here on the stage. Do you remember? For his lungs. He was due to go into hospital. He said he didn't need to go into hospital. Isn't that good? That's a miracle. And of course there was Joanna and her arm. Healed with the shock on her face. Because she came back to dinner with us. And even by the time she left our house, It was absolutely healed there and then, here on this stage. She just got healed and the pain went. We're going to see much, much more.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.